Hello and welcome to Yudcast, episode 45. This is Head of School Dan Glass with you once again, recording live in the Sound Lab here at the Brandeis School of San Francisco. Thank you for joining us. It's a beautiful sunny day here in San Francisco. Not that the sun shines into the Sound Lab exactly, but if it did, that would be lovely. We're going to start today with a poem, as we like to do. This week, we do not have a special guest on the Yudcast, so it's just me and you, dear listener. And we are going to begin with a poem by David Lehman called 20 Questions. And I think it will not take long for you to figure out the connection between this poem and our subject matter today. Why did the moth fly into the flame? Was it for the same reason that Achilles died young? Who gets more fun out of sex, the man or the woman? Be sure to explain how you can tell. Which is more real to you, heaven or hell? Why do sinners' ways prosper? What causes the death of love, the love of death? Did Adam and Eve have a choice? Did the Virgin Mary? What are we afraid of, anyway? Even agnostics have the right to say, thank God, don't they? Looking at these dancing atoms, shall I say I saw a ring of pure and endless light? Or did I dream the whole thing? Whom shall I say is calling? Are you in it? Are you in if it's your wife? Are you willing to relocate? Do you like your life? What makes this night different from all other nights? Would you say it's your fate to be always, without exception, 5 minutes late? If you arrived at 9:10, would the ceremony have started at 9:05, though it had been scheduled for 9:15? As you walk down the aisle, and the others rivet their attention to you, do you ask yourself what you're going to do, as though it mattered, as if you knew? Appreciate the shout out to the four questions there in what makes this night different from all other nights. Yeah, questioning is very much on my mind. So last night I got home from a really lovely dinner and drinks out with some friends and colleagues of mine, fellow heads of school here in San Francisco. And Kate and I, after I got back, Kate and I watched the end of the fourth season of Transparent. And I'll admit that I was skeptical of Transparent at first. We don't make a great deal of time for watching TV together, Kate and I. And when we do, I'm often looking for something light and effervescent, sort of escapist TV. But Kate had watched the first season a while back and had been so impressed by it that she insisted we watch it again together. And after that, I was hooked. It's been described to me as the most Jewish show on television, and for good reason. It dives deep into the tradition and culture, the rituals and the food, the bickering and ambivalence, and the love and the warmth. This fourth season travels to Israel and explores the deep connections and conflicted feelings many American Jews feel there in profound ways. It's beautifully done. Last night, though, I was struck not as much by the landscape or the setting, but rather the big questions about gender and sexuality that the show continues to explore. Without spoiling anything, I'll say that there was a scene where a gender nonconforming character hooked up with another gender nonconforming character. The conversation that they have, trying to locate their non-binary roles using the language of gender binaries, because what other language do we have, was a powerful reminder of how limited we are by our received modes of thinking and talking about identity, or so many other things, truly. Later, several characters try out the pronoun they rather than he or she in a wonderfully open and playful moment. I'm grateful for cultural objects such as Transparent that invite me to consider and question my own biases and assumptions, even those baked into the language I love and use daily. As the credit rolls, Credits rolled, Kate said it best, and simply, so good. Turning out the lamp, I caught a last illuminated glimpse of a poster made by our friend Nate, which hangs in our family room, a print that reads, "Resist much, obey little." It's a quote from a short poem of Walt Whitman's, who is absolutely my spirit animal, if poets can be spirit animals. And the poem is usually titled "To the States." It reads in its entirety, "To the states or any one of them, or any city of the states, resist much, obey little. Once unquestioning obedience, once fully enslaved. Once fully enslaved, no nation, state, city of this earth ever afterward resumes its liberty." What I love about this poem is its reminder of our national origins as a grand democratic experiment, one that is reliant on each of us to think for ourselves. Resistance, for Whitman, is about questioning, and questioning is the responsibility of a democratic citizen. I've written previously in the Word of the Week, and I don't know if we've talked about it here on the Yidcast, but about questioning as ritual, which was initially a quote from the Ta-Nehisi Coates book, Between the World and Me. And questioning as a ritual in Jewish practice, as well as here at Brandeis. I saw that ritual, questioning as ritual, in action yesterday when I had the good fortune to pop into an eighth grade science class. Miss Freilich was just back from a trip for a family wedding, and she was having the class share their reflections about the substitute teacher they'd had and the work she had left behind for them. So the students filled out a form on Whipple Hill to record their impressions, and then she led them in a discussion about the experience. There were positive statements, like, "I liked being able to listen to music and work at my own pace," and negative ones as well. "We didn't learn as much without you here as we do when you're here." At the end of the discussion, Ms. Freilich invited them to consider why she'd set things up the way she did, including questioning what was or was not in her control or in theirs. In 10 short minutes, she reinforced a positive classroom culture, opened a space for thoughtful reflection on both individual and collective learning, and empowered students to ask critical questions about the class. It was, to borrow Kate's phrase, so good. That work of asking critical questions, including asking those kinds of questions of authority figures, feels especially important right now, in an age of infinite media and false facts. I feel grateful that our dual traditions at Brandeis, the American and the Jewish, both insist on the centrality of questions. As Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel put it, man, we're quoting Heschel a lot on the Yidcast lately, so shout out, may his memory be a blessing. It is indeed a blessing, clearly, but he put it once, "We are closer to God when we are asking questions than when we think we have the answers." While God has not often been how I have articulated my relationship to the sacred, I feel the truth of that statement to my bones. I hope that our students continue to question their teachers, their learning, and their world. And may our Brandeis graduates, now and for generations to come, help make ours an age of questions. And with that, I wish you all weekends full of questions, hopefully thoughtful, enriching questions from your children, from your friends, from your family. Shabbat shalom to all of you listening on Shabbat, and we will see you back here next week.